Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Jennifer Soto, mom of Maddie Soto. When you think the word mom, you think this is the person who's taking care of a daughter or a son or whatever it is. And in this case, it's a daughter, Madeline Soto. Now, taking care and protecting, that's the problem in this case, because there didn't seem to be a whole hell of a lot of it. All the way to the fact of her allowing her boyfriend to sleep in the same bed together, even after they had split up. Hey, come on over. Sleep with my daughter. Nothing weird about that. Joining me to discuss this and all of these strange inconsistencies in Jen Soto's case, which, again, not charged with anything yet, Eric Fadis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. When you're looking at all this, obviously, Stefan Stearns, he's got his charges against him. He's going down, probably getting the death penalty. Jen, no charges yet. Why?
Nothing yet, Tony. A number of theories abound. One is that, you know, is she working hand in hand with the government to perhaps cooperate against what may have been the most culpable individual here, Stefan Stearns? That's one option. Another option is maybe she's lawyered up and has not given additional statements, and they just don't have enough to charge her. A third option is they are building something against Jennifer Soto because of she could have been complicit or somehow otherwise unlawfully involved. And so unclear right now, but a lot of options in the air.
It's making you wonder, like, what are they? I don't know. It feels like there's charges here that could be filed at this point in time, especially when, now that we know that she was allowing him to sleep in the same bed with her daughter. I mean, it's got to be something there. Her story has changed several times from initial interviews, claiming that she saw Maddie the night before and that was it. And then it was she was with Stefan taking her to school, and then she wasn't. And then she knew what she was wearing that day, although she didn't see her that day. It goes on and on and on. I mean, the list just keeps going with her. Maybe they are looking for some. Maybe she is cooperating. That's what I was thinking initially. But then we heard the news about the rooms in the house that was revealed the night before Maddie was murdered. Maybe she was murdered that night. We don't even know. She said, "Go to room 4." Who the hell numbers the rooms in their house? 1, 2, 3, 4. Because Jed wanted to get a good night's sleep, so you go sleep with my daughter in room number 4. Now, what does that tell you about what may be going on in this home if the rooms are numbered like a hotel or a motel?
Yeah, it seems like they are designated numerically, perhaps based on the purpose of the room. Because why else? I mean, like you said, we've got multiple rooms in our house. I don't say, you know, go to room number 2 to watch Netflix or whatever. It's just a peculiar way to look at your house. And it just suggests that maybe Jen knew, you know, X happens in room one and Y happens in room two. And what are those X and Y variables? That's sort of the chilling part of the investigation that hasn't been made public. At least in terms of details.
I mean, I'm just speculating here. In my mind, it goes to like a brothel or something of that nature. And we're talking about a kid here and talking about Stefan Stearns, who we know was involved online with others. So it does start to make you wonder, were other people being trafficked through this house? Other children being trafficked through this house? And how did Jen have absolutely no idea that any of this was going on? What sort of legal risks does she face right now? Hasn't been charged with anything. Again, innocent until proven guilty, and all this is all speculation. But considering her questionable decisions and behavior, what sort of charges do you think could be brought against her at this point?
You know, there are a number that are potentially on the table based on her inconsistencies and what some people might see as outright lies. She could be charged with false reporting, making a false statement to a police officer. But perhaps more severely, she could be complicit in this whole thing. You know, it just strains credulity to think that she had no clue what was going on in there. On the contrary, if she had knowledge and provided some kind of material aid, even if it's a slight amount of aid, that could make her, in the eyes of the law, just as culpable as Stefan Stearns in terms of her being complicit. Lastly, would be some kind of child neglect charge for unreasonably placing Maddie in a position where she was in danger, and Jennifer knew that and did not intervene.
Is there still a chance that it could be argued that she made these decisions and was influenced to make these decisions because of the abusive, or if she was in an abusive relationship with Stefan Stearns? We don't even know if she was, at least those two hand in hand. One would probably assume so, considering what Stefan was doing. But can that still be argued that she did these horrible things or put her head in the sand simply because of that? Is that a defense strategy for an adult?
It's an important insight, Tony, because if she is charged, I can totally see her raising some kind of like duress defense, like essentially saying that, hey, Stefan Stearns was a monster and he made me do things against my will, including things that involved Madeline. That defense has not yet been raised, but I could totally see that coming up just based on how the facts have played out so far. Jennifer Soto just blaming Stefan and saying, hey, he made me do it. Is that duress defense enough for her to escape all responsibility? That would be up to a jury.
Yeah, I mean, we saw kind of some of that in the name is escaping me at this second in time. The case where the little girl, gosh, you know what I'm talking about? There was, it was him, and then they were living in the car for a long time, and Harmony Montgomery, Adam Montgomery.
Oh, yes, Montgomery, yep.
The Montgomery case, where his girlfriend was going along with this for so long. She's now about to be free, if she's not already free. Exactly. But she helped the prosecution go after him. I'm wondering, even though she was fairly complicit in a lot of things that were going on,
right,
I'm wondering if there's room for that here in this case too.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we have the law and then we have human behavior, and it doesn't always fit neatly into that law. So, you know, just speaking speculatively, but perhaps Jennifer Soto had some complicity in what happened. Perhaps also she was a victim of Stefan Stearns in some way. Yeah. And perhaps that duress and that whole coercive environment is part of what gave rise to this atrocity that happened to Maddie Soto. And perhaps the government enlists Jennifer to talk about that and help in the case against Stefan Stearns.
It'll be interesting. I mean, the fact that they weren't even together anymore, and then she brought him in voluntarily, that seems a little bit more than just, you know, we're all living together and I was unaware of this. Like, you willingly brought this man into your home months after you'd been separated or whatever. That does not look good.
It doesn't, and it just kind of doesn't pass the smell test in terms of the duration of this alleged abuse, how long it went on. Any attentive mother, you would hope, would have some awareness and then would take some action.
You would hope. You would hope, but unfortunately, not always. And it seems to be the case here.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.